Dwayne and, okay. All right, well, welcome, everybody. Just as a matter of information, we'd like to excuse Sheriff Blaine Brashears and Chief Mike Brown. Both of them had conflicts and notified us that they were unable to attend today. Looks like everybody else is here. And thank you, Melanie, for being here from UCA. That's going to be on the agenda just to give us some explanations about some information that we had discussed in a previous meeting. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. Has everyone had the opportunity to review the minutes of the April 12th meeting? And I would entertain any suggestions for any changes or approval or any other motion.
I read them yesterday, and I would make a motion to approve them, but unless somebody had a chance to look at them.
Okay. If you need a second to peruse them, or anybody had an opportunity to see them, do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay, that motion carried. All right. Opportunity for public comment. Is there anyone here from the public that would like to comment? Seeing none, we'll move on. Chair report. I have nothing to report other than what we're going to talk about on the agenda. It's been kind of a busy summer, and so I think everybody's busy with a lot of things in their local jurisdictions, and we haven't had a whole lot of things that have come up that I've heard about that we as Iraq need to address just yet. But hopefully we'll have more agenda items in the future that we'll you know, sink our efforts into and be productive. So with that, I'd like to move to the next item, and that's the UCA update on ECATS. And just as a matter of setting this issue up, we've sent out some letters to you, and there were some comments and concerns that we had in a previous meeting regarding the ECAT system. And for those of you that may not know much about it, Melanie will get into it. It's probably some nitty-gritty of the specifics of it. But what this issue is about is that when it was first purchased, that some of its functionality serves the benefit of a statewide viewpoint, looking at statewide PSEP activities and what may be best practice, what may be a right size fit in terms of when you look at call volume, things like that. We were trying, when it was originally purchased by the 911 committee, it was trying to get accurate data measured in the same methodology throughout the state from all the PSAPs so we could get a good look of activity and what's been happening in all the PSAPs. And are we right-sizing it in terms of grant allocation for telephone systems and funding and so forth? So there's some good benefit from a statewide viewpoint, but then what we also found out when it came online is that some of the PSAP managers themselves, once they got to understand the tool, the software, and its application of generating reports, they were very much interested in seeing the information because it would benefit maybe some of their decision-making at their level. And it was of value, and it helped maybe coordination of issues from neighboring dispatch centers. For example, maybe it helped identify call routing issues, and maybe they could initiate why we were having so many transfers in one area or another, and maybe it could have been just cell site direction from one particular cell site. And so that kind of information may not been of interest at a state viewpoint, other than they're saying, well, transfers are occurring. But at the two neighboring PSAPs, it would be, well, they're occurring, and how can we maybe adjust or change that so it doesn't occur as often? And so I think over time, once we purchased the tool, I think, you know, there was different uses and different values to it. And so along came the lines where originally some of the 911 board members were allowed to be either, and I don't know the best way to describe it, lack of, you know, please excuse my terminology, but super users, if you will. You know, those that have full access to certain software rights. And everybody that's worked with any software knows that from an administrator standpoint. And I used to think police officers and firefighters were pretty anal and controlling over their stuff. And they didn't like people to have access to it. But when you get into the IT world, that's like, you know, squared or tenfold. They don't like to give away any authorities because they're very much concerned about the security, and they don't want it to get contaminated. And we've seen ample examples of that occurring in many software applications, many banking systems. And so I understand the need for it, but sometimes it drives me crazy. because, for example, like in our world, we need an MDT to work right away when we get out of the fire truck, and we need to know the map that it has to work right now, and we have to know whether to turn right or left when we pull out of the station. Well, our IT guys say, no, you're going to have to enter your password, and you have to do this, and by the time we get through all their clearances and security checks, we're at the scene, and that tool now is useless to us. So there's always a balance in trying to balance the functionality and what I need as a user versus IT, who needs to make sure it's secure and doesn't get contaminated and so forth. So what I've done is there's a series of letters that went back and forth between Carl and UCA in terms of explaining it, but I've also invited Melanie and want to turn some time over to her. Hopefully I've set the stage correctly in terms of kind of an overview of the issue, and would like to have Melanie give us some viewpoints of UCA and why they play, you know, why the restrictions weren't there in the first place, why they're added. Is there any room for negotiation of giving certain access to PSAP managers to be able to get the information they need? Because at the end of the day, the way I look at it is we're all on the same team. We have a state UCA 911 division, we have a RAC, and with us, we're concerned about radio functionality and 911 services. What can we do to work together to hopefully share information that is beneficial to both parties, that we can use it to make the service delivery better for the communities? And I think that's what it's all about. So with that, I'll turn the time over to Melanie.
Am I okay to sit down? Because I don't usually normally like to stand.
I don't know.
I have to be in the middle.
We might want you right here.
Right.
Do we have anybody, Katie, do we have anybody on the phone?
No.
Okay. All right. I was just concerned so everybody could hear you.
Oh, I can speak louder if you need me to, but usually okay. I do it too loud. So I'm Melanie Crittenden. This is Samantha Brewer. We're the 911 division. Thanks for inviting us for this opportunity to discuss the ECATS issue. At the beginning of our discussions about ECATS and when this access was changed, we went to a NENA conference, and they gave us a checklist of cybersecurity type of list to go by and go back and look at your systems that you have in place and make sure that they are secure. So that's ultimately the reasoning behind us taking a look at it in the first place. And we know that in the beginning that it was signed off by all the PSAPs, that everybody could look at everybody's information in the state. And there was agreements made way back in the day, but I think a lot of those, some of those people may have come and gone. And so when we looked at it and brought up the entire list of users that we have on ECATS, there were several that have retired or are no longer employed. That was one concern. Another concern is that on the checklist, it states to minimize the administrator access to those kind of systems. And that's why we did. We limited to 3 UCA employees, Samantha, I, and Quinn, for the purpose of adhering to those NENA standards that are stipulated. We do understand the need of regional areas to have a look at everybody's information, and the transfers are obviously a big deal. There is a new mechanism that we just purchased that we hope will help in the future with PSAPs to be able to fix those issues with ECATS and reaching out to the cell providers and making those routing issues better. In the meantime, I don't know that necessarily Director Edmonds would look at changing anything that we've done, because we are adhering to the policies that we think we need to. I don't know that I met all the measures that you stipulated, but I wanted to make sure that it was understood. It's not that we're trying to be adversarial and limit everybody's access to everything. That's not at all what this was about. It was basically just the security mechanism and securing your information at your PSAP levels as well as others. And when we did do that, surprisingly so, knowing that I knew where it came from and the PSAP signing on to say that we are okay with anybody having access, we got a lot of emails coming back thanking us for tightening those grips, because some PSAPs are never aware who's in their information, taking a look at their data and access to that. And so, you know, by PSAP stating, you know, we appreciate that, we feel like a lot of people are diving into our information that may or may not need to, we kind of went off of that basis as well. We're fine with PSAPs working together. We obviously would be happy to have that happen. So I don't know if that covers enough or if you've got more questions.
It does, Melanie. I guess the question I would have, just trying to, and I, to some degree, you know, with Carl being a PSAP manager, Regina and stuff, I want to speak on their behalf without having a horse in the game or whatnot.
Yeah.
And what I guess I would say is that is it possible at all that would UCA consider, say for example, I would think that, okay, Carl may not have, or Layton City or Tooele may not have the need to look at St. George's, because they're not going to make some kind of decision that impacts those two agencies. But their neighboring jurisdiction, if there were an agreement between the two, is it possible within the software application to allow, say, adjoining jurisdictions, or even say if there's multiple PSAPs in one county? Because I would think, like, even in Carl's situation, if he's trying to fix any transfer issues or overlapping jurisdictional issues, any PSAP that adjoins him, say for example the Weber and Clearfield and the Sheriff's Office, if he had access to that information to help him and those make better decisions about what they're doing, could or would UCA, and is the software even capable of saying, we'll entertain an agreement between adjoining PSAP centers, so any other PSAP you touch, you could approach them and ask if they would like to have an agreement to share information, and could the software be structured to where you could set it up to where it was that those PSAP managers within that footprint that agreed upon, could that information then be shared? And in a way where you're not giving them total administrator rights, but you're almost treating them as one PSAP area for information that any of those managers, and I don't know if I'm asking the question in the right way, but I would think that would be most beneficial to those, and would Director Edmonds and UCA consider saying, I can see a value in that locally to those PSAPs, and so if they agreed to share, could something like that be allowed?
As the RAC, you're able to do whatever motions you feel that you need to do towards,
right,
to Director Edmonds. So I, on behalf of speaking for him, I don't know what he would approve or disapprove.
Okay.
I do know that he would be very hesitant to go back because of how we feel about the security measures. I do remember reaching out to ECATS in the beginning of this and asking the capabilities of restriction to access, and I don't remember what the response was from ECATS as far as administrator to administrator or PSAP to a group of PSAPs. There was limitations to it, but I don't remember right now what that was. I don't remember the specifics of it. And obviously, we would be able to take a look at that if that's something that this group wanted to be able to look at.
And I don't think, you know, and I want to speak out of turn, but I don't think I would be, probably because of the security issues, we probably wouldn't come back and say, we want you to consider allowing us to have an administrator right, because the way I understand software and administrator right, they're the king over everything. They can manipulate reports, they can change tables, they can do things that where there's, and I go through this with every software thing, is there's too many kitchens or cooks in the kitchen, and you struggle getting accurate data because somebody's done this or done that. You got to control that. But short of being an administrator, being able to access the data for my region, I think would be a different type of a request, saying that, you know, can it be structured to do that, not give me full administrator rights.
And interject just one second.
You bet.
As administrators or as people who had access to all the data, we never had the opportunity to edit or change any of the information. It's all read-only, 100% read-only. So there's no damage from a user perspective to the data itself. I understand the security question about, you know, data being released to a third party or something like that. But as far as changing or manipulating,
you couldn't contaminate it.
Never had that opportunity. You can write a custom report to pull data from it, but you can't change the underlying data. You can't delete anything. You can't. It's all there only as a query function.
Okay.
And a question I would have is, would it be any different for the group of your Wasatch Regional to come together like today in the room and have their laptops and log into their each systems and go through a day of ECATS and towers and what that looks like and transfers? Is that something that would not be, you wouldn't be able to do from PSAP to PSAP on that venture rather than to gain access to everybody's information?
I think.
Would you accomplish the same thing?
I think what you have in a nutshell is these items sometimes come up, you know, at irregular intervals. And the level of skill in ECATS between some of the PSAPs varies greatly. So it would probably be very cumbersome to do what you suggest in that regard. To give an example recently, and this fortunately was with another center who has a strong ECAS person, but we had the cell tower in Riverdale that I forwarded you information about, and for the rest of the group, we had a cell tower that T-Mobile said was acting perfectly fine, and they said there was no problem, and we kept getting phone calls from this tower that every single one of them had to be transferred, which really hurts our transfer stats, and it's something that they want us to correct, and you know, it's obviously not good for the public either. This required going in and looking at the data to be able to say, here is the tower that is causing your problem, T-Mobile. Fix this tower. And then they found it and said, oh, yeah, you're right. It was broken. We're sorry.
So
and they
like
fixed it.
It was like a Riverdale tower routing their 911 calls
to the
Layton Center instead of maybe the Weaver Center.
Correct.
People are probably obviously calling in close proximity to that tower, and they're probably in Wayne
County. Exactly. Yeah. So it took some time, and it took some ECATS digging, and the benefits there to being able to resolve problems quickly. That problem took a few weeks to actually get resolved, but the benefits of being able to dig into somebody else's data in a neighboring jurisdiction and help them or help you try to troubleshoot a problem that's also affecting you. That means real phone calls and getting a problem fixed sooner and resolving issues. So I think for us, the ability to work with our partners and have all of us have access to those that have agreed in a small region or a county or adjacent PSAPs, I think it represents a good compromise of system security, but also functionality, so we can solve the problems that you guys have asked us to solve.
And as much as I agree with that, I guess my dream world would be that every PSAP director or manager would have the expertise that you do, because I think you do have such a great expertise in ECATS. But I would love to see each of the PSAP people come up and learn how to utilize this ECATS system, as well as us. Before we limited the access, there were phone calls going back and forth on our account, because we are the owner of the account, that we never knew was going on. And as we're new employees being over this system, if we have monthly phone calls with ECATS and discuss things that, you know, PSAPs have, we would never know that it happened. So not only are we the administrators of that account, but we just didn't know what was going on inside that. And I mean, we aren't the ownership of your data. We understand that. We have the ownership over the reporting mechanism that legislatively we have to do. And I would love to be able to get other PSAP directors to that level of understanding that they can take care of their own information. I don't know how else to try to do that. And I guess I feel like back in the meetings when you guys that are experts on ECATS had meetings with the PSAPs, they brought their laptops in the same room, they went through their cell towers, and you described information. I would love to have more of those kind of training type of scenarios to where the PSAP would feel comfortable sitting down and be able to go through their call routing. The call routing software that we purchased is going to take that PSAP director manager working one-on-one with ECATS and allowing them the data to their routing sheets and all of that information. So I don't think that you are going to be able to be that representative for the Wasatch region. At least I don't know how that would be the case. And I guess I just feel like every PSAP director in that region should be able to learn this system.
I would love for that to happen too, but we've had it for 7 years, and we still have some who probably don't know how to use it very well or don't log in at all. And we have others that, you know, use it on a regular basis as a tool. I think it depends upon where that particular PSAP manager's focus is and how much time they want to spend on it, and probably some technical ability and knowledge as well. I have no problem. I've always had a willingness to show anybody, you know, what I do and hope that they can apply it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's the only solution to our issue.
I think there is some, what you're telling us, Melanie, and let me just ask this question in this way, is if we considered some type of motion that requested, like, the adjacent, you know, information, with the caveat that in order to get that adjacent information, not only do we have to have the agreement with, say, fellow PSAP manager, but they have to attend certain training and be given some type of even write-off by ECATS that would say that, yeah, they've been trained and they are trained to gather this information. Because you're right, I think what's happened in Carl's situation is everybody signed an agreement to share information and then nobody put the effort in to learn the system. And we have the continual problem with every software program we have in our organization, whether it be law enforcement, 911, fire department, that if you don't put the effort in to learn it, all you do is complain about it because you don't know anything about it and you don't know how to use the tool. And so if we are so bold to say, give us access to it, what in my mind comes with that is commitment that we'll learn how to use it. And so if Regina and Carl want to have that shared information, then we would also maybe do some follow-up training at even our RAC meeting here and saying, all of you that want to be on this agreement, you have to attend this training. And we've arranged through ECATS to put you, you know, into this training, and you must come in and get written off, or, you know, not certified, but, you know, that yeah, okay, this person has received all the information, they don't want to use it and explain it. Because, frankly, this is a point of contention in my mind is I was on that 911 board when we purchased that, and the whole intent was to purchase that tool to make 911 PSAP centers stronger in functionality and knowledge of making decisions on how to better serve their communities. And if that tool's not being used for that, it's a waste of money. Frankly, it's just a waste of money if it's not being used, and you're agreeing that it hasn't really been used because people haven't taken that on. And I think that's a responsibility of those managers to learn the system and use that information to make informed decisions on how they serve their communities.
I worry that if it is a group issue, like being here and going through the training, that they're still going to utilize Carl's expertise and know that they just don't have to worry it as much. So they're still, I've been there and done the same thing. I only have so much time in the day to be able to focus on technology versus, you know, operations.
Day-to-day.
And you're limited to how much you can do. And I also knew that if I had an IT guy that could take care of the issue, I didn't have to worry about that focus in my brain.
Right.
So I understand that. I guess in our minds, it was, you know, limit the access, have the PSAP reach out to us. We go through the mechanism with ECAS to train them, as well as train us on what they're learning. As far as the call routing issues, I understand it being easier and simpler to do it at the time on the fly when it happens and the issue comes up. But, I mean, how about working with your regional areas on whatever kind of scenario to go through those routing sheets together and figure out what those issues are when the issue comes up? Like I said, I don't know what motion Director Edmonds will say yes or no to. I don't. I know that he didn't want to back down from the initial change in the account that we did back in January, I believe, December, January. That was the stance that he took as we left to come here today, is that he did not want to back out of that.
Yeah, and I don't think we would be wanting to ask for, you know, administrator rights. It's a different kind of rights, I think, is what we would, having understanding. And I don't know if it exists.
I wish I could remember that email because I asked the same question. And I think that it's either a user or administrator. And once you're an administrator, you have access to raw data and everything that is owned by that PSAP, basically. And I think that was the biggest concern. And talking with ECATS, when we were doing this, we had discussed, you know, the security issues and what other states are doing. And they had stated that Utah is basically the only state that allows statewide type of access. So on top of that, that was another decision thing where it's like, well, maybe we're just not doing things in the right fashion. I would need to find out the access part of that if there is a regional area that would want to be willing to look at all of everybody's information and have access to those, I would need to get an answer for you.
Yeah, and I guess what the question would be is that could the four PSAPs in Davis County be a user? You know, so you have four independent users, but then could a group user of Davis County be created? And then that means that it's treated, those four PSAPs would be treated as if one PSAP. And then extend it to the fact that, well, could those that touch Weber County and those that touch Davis County be a user? We don't have nearly the issue in Box Elder County because the dividing line is not really very populated. Probably the only place that we have any activity is on the freeway. So it just doesn't happen that often. But between Davis and Weber County, we have a line where you have population and activity that goes on. And then all the other counties that would maybe say, yeah, I'd really like to be a shared user with this PSAP because we have these, this line of demarcation, but it, we get all these call transfers. And could those two become a user? So not become an administrator, but just a consolidated user, I guess is kind of the question to ECAS. And I don't know, we're just discussing it right now. We have to make a motion and stuff, and we appreciate you being here just to...
I'm going to bring this up to see if I can't find the email, because it's bothering me that I don't know what the answer was.
So not necessarily giving us more power, but just consolidating the PSAP information into it.
And maybe it's only a couple of counties that this would affect, because as I look at it, the reports that are provided by your... by UCA, the ones that you or that Director Edmonds mentioned, the overall call volume and those 3 years averages, I'm getting what I need from that report.
Yes.
I did ask Carl before the meeting started, what did Director Edmonds mean by a cost for coordinating groups, changing permissions, and that outweighing benefits of this? It sounds like there might be some cost, but all of the agencies are already in there, so would it just be, would there be a cost for grouping if it were, say, as Davis County or?
There is for reports, new special reports that you have to have made. I don't think as far as access, there would be additional costs for that.
Yeah, if you could take three PSAPs and make a new group out of it.
If there is reports that group would ask for that ECAS makes, that's not already a generic CAN report that they make today, they would charge for that, yeah.
But they can also write our own customer report. It's got that functionality.
And so that would be the question, is if, because it wouldn't be giving us any more authority, but instead of having to bring your computer and my computer and then get our data and then somehow consolidate it, could it be ran in a consolidated form? So if Layton and Weber wanted to run an ECAS report, they could do it because they're a joint, but not have any further administrator rights, just be more looked upon as a...
I think it is all or none.
Okay. But if you can, and I don't know, what I guess we've got to have a motion before we would ask for that, to at least be asked the question.
Yeah, it was all or none because there was another user from a different PSAP that works for another agency that asked to be a user for that agency, and I remember at that time when we had asked how to do that, if you could just do that, and they said it's all or none. So that person had to be given a second ID to log into that PSAP's information away from his information. And it would be either this PSAP versus that PSAP on where he logs into.
Okay.
Could we ask ECATS at least what that would entail if they would entertain a change to how that permissioning is handled? I guess just to know, is it an easy fix? Is it something that would require a lot of work on their end? Would they charge? Just that kind of getting some background information on that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think so. Just to say, has it ever happened in other states where other adjoining PSAPs have said, geez, we'd like to just see that data consolidated? Because here's one of the other things that's out there that would, and if we talk about this as a motion, is there's some legislative mandate issues related to, I believe, in like Davis and Utah County to evaluate, the number of PSAPs and so forth. So what you're saying is, we want you to look at that, and here's a tool that would help you assimilate data for looking at that, and could it be enabled to, so that tool can be used to that advantage of doing that, rather than just saying, no, you do that on your own, and we're not going to... We've got a tool here, and I think it's the way we ask the question to ECATS. It's why can't you make PSAP 1 and PSAP 2 one group and allow each one of them to look, if they agree, to look at each other's data. Now, so maybe Weber County shouldn't be looking at St. George's data because there's just no business reason. But to look at Layton's and look at transfer issues and those kind of things and what's going on, or more importantly, for Davis County, who's got four PSAPs and somebody wants to ask the question, why? And would it better serve the community with less than four? This tool would be a great tool to assemble the data. So I don't think it's a, I think the more I've looked into it, I understand the security issues, and we support what UCA and Director Edmonds has done in terms of that security issue. That's not our argument. I think the argument is, or discussion is there a way we can better share adjoining data so we can make better decisions? Not having more rights, but maybe looking at putting two 911 centers' data together and having rights to that, if that makes sense. I don't know, anybody else see this issue any differently, or?
I agree, and I can see, you know, we don't need to look at St. George's, and they don't need to look at ours, but I can see the great value in sharing, and short of Dave conceding and letting us do this, is there a way to work around that ourselves and share the data? I mean, we own our own data, and we can share with other, you know, legitimate users. Is there a workaround if they're not willing, I guess, is the next question.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what it is our workaround is we have to get this managers together. Part of that challenge is, yeah, we've got one BSAT manager that's highly skilled in using this software, and we have another one that may not have logged into it ever. And you know, maybe not as concerned about it, and we'd hope they would be, but maybe they aren't. Or, like you say, in balance of time, they just don't have the time to invest in it.
I just feel like it would stay that way if we end up having shared groups.
It doesn't mean that we shouldn't do that, though. I mean, those are two separate issues in my mind. There's the, let's solve the problem that we have of being able to share and see data to solve problems, and there's the training issue, and that's a separate issue. It's also important. It's also something that we should push, but I don't see them as, well, if we can't solve one, then we shouldn't solve the other, if that makes sense.
We're not saying not to share it. It's just the mechanism that you do share it is what you're asking for today. Because I could care less if you bring your information up and let Regina look over your shoulder. That's your information. We're not saying that we're worried about that. It's just the mechanism of allowing more users to get into the system going this way, that way, and every way. And that's the part that I don't know the director or admins will agree with or not.
Yeah. The concern I have with just the sitting next to each other is that does solve some problems. If I say, hey, can you look up this phone number in your system and find that, and you know, we can do that. The problem is a lot of the reports, the benefit of a lot of the reports is running it against a data set. And if you're only running it against one part of the data, then you get an answer here. And if you run it against another part of the data, you get an answer here. The real value in some of those reports is to being able to run it against the whole data set and make some decisions based upon that. So that's my concern with sitting next to each other. If the system can't see each other's data, then the results from running some of those reports are quite limited.
And I think the business argument that you're saying is in the past, and I think I would agree with UCA. It's UCA's responsibility to look at the statewide data collectively, you know, for statewide direction and issues and missions and so forth. It's Carl's or Regina's, for lack of better, you know, Leighton, Twilla, business to try to look at adjoining to make better local decisions on a local basis. And that's where I think that the request would come from, is saying we're not saying give a local PSAT manager back what they used to have, looking at continually all the statewide, but somehow creating a regional user, if you will, if it's even possible, so they can make better decisions. And I would hope that ECATs of, you know, in other states, other requests have come in to say, you know, if we can collaborate together, we're going to make better decisions. And it's technologically doing that. That's what I think the request would be. But maybe that mousetrap doesn't exist. And maybe it's just the way we're asking the question from ECAT. So we'll try to frame, if we do pass a motion, we'll try to frame it in a way that the request is not to say give us administrative rights, but is it possible to have the system allow adjoining or adjacent 911 centers to, once upon an agreement, allow a consolidated user look at that particular data just in those consolidated areas. And I don't think it would even be a Wasatch Front. You know, we wouldn't say let's have all of our counties. It would be more or less almost kind of like startup with, could Davis County share their data? Could Utah County share their data? Could Salt Lake County share their data? Weber County can share it with themselves. But you know, in that particular fashion. And Tooele County might say, well,
I don't think that there would be an interest from Tooele County. That's what I'm wondering. If you put out an interest letter to see how many would be, we're rural between Utah Valley and Salt Lake.
So our,
our transfer are really small, and it's just that somebody's traveling east along I-80 or west along I-80, and we've got a CAD-to-CAD that's not working right now. But that would be our transfer, is when we don't have that CAD-to-CAD opportunity and we just have to transfer that call. You know, we might stay on the phone and work it out between our local jurisdictions. But I agree with Melanie. I can sit down with Chris if I've got an issue, but I'm not a large, you know, we're rural. We're very, very, very a small percentage of our calls are hitting the Utah County line or vice versa. So we may not be interested in this. There might be just a very small group of people that need to do that, and I could see, and that's why I support Carl. I could see his need.
Okay. So. Well, maybe we limit our request or concern to Davis County shared information, and or I don't know if Salt Lake County would want to meet too, because I know they have some things.
I'm sure back in Salt Lake City, transfer calls back and forth.
They do. I know they do. But. And so maybe we'd request it just on a county level to say Salt Lake County, because there's multiple centers in Salt Lake County, Davis County, and Utah County.
We don't represent Utah County.
That's right. So it's not really our place. So maybe just Salt Lake County and Davis County to see if there's a way there could be a user created for the four PSAPs in Davis County and the two PSAPs in Salt Lake County, and limit our request. If we refine it really narrowly, then maybe we better opportunity of being successful. And then if it does work, then we could look at Davis County and Weber County if there's a methodology where that could be shared. But I think specifically, if you look at Wasatch Front Regional Council and our areas, and the charge legislatively for Davis County to look at their four PSAPs and whether there's a better way, better mousetrap of doing business there, this would add to that information as to helping them aid in that decision-making process. That would be one of the basis of our request, I would think.
Has Utah County shown any interest in this? I'm sure they do too. They just have
the two. No, this is the first request we've had.
So I'm not sure what we'll do, is, you know, because we'd have to pass the motion, Melanie, but
yeah.
Does anybody else have any other further questions for Melanie? I know she's got a meeting she's got to get to. But does everybody feel like they understand the situation well enough, got all the information they want to know?
Okay. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. We may come with some type of request.
We'll be doing some research as well based upon some of the comments that came up. So.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you coming.
Thanks.
Yeah, have a good day.
Thank you.
All right.
See ya.
Okay. So on that, does anybody have a motion, recommendation, request on, would you like us to put forward a formal request for consideration from UCA on this topic? I know Carl might, but I think anybody
else? Wait for some other comments or some other thoughts.
So I just want to, because I'm an outsider on this, and I just, from my observation, I just have a couple of questions that I've been taking some notes here. It's mind-boggling to me that there's this, what value is a report that's sent to all you PSAPs that tells you what you're doing wrong if you don't have a way to correct it? And I see what you're asking is a way to correct it. So my question is, I don't understand ECAS to begin with, so that's hard for me to start putting my arms around it, but is ECAS something that is a private company that you can't go to and ask the same question to if UCA doesn't want to do it?
The problem with that is, yes, they are a private company, but the owner of the account is UCA. UCA is paying for the service for the reports. So we, as individual PSAPs or communities, don't have any ability to go and say, hey, can you modify something owned by UCA or their product for our benefit. Does that sense.
Yeah, and so my question on that would be then is how do you structure your request to UCA that you're not really asking UCA to give you the answer, but can they go and ask ECATS if there's a solution?
Right.
And maybe that's the way to tailor right. the question.
Would you at least request from ECATS if the software can be programmed in such a way that this information can be shared to adjoining agencies, if through a letter of agreement or agency allows for that to occur, we would even be willing to require those PSAPs to have a representative attend training before as a part of that agreement to allow that exchange of information. Yeah. Meaning that we're willing to put skin in the game and say that the only way you can do it is you can't just sign an agreement and say, yeah, I'll let you have it. It's you also have to attend some ECAT-sponsored training. When ECATS came out, when it was presented to the 911 committee, one of the issues that was occurring when the 911 committee was formed in the early 2000s and in teens is that the 911 board had no real ability other than what Regina would come in and say, here's what I do, here's my activity, here's how busy I am, I need 4 position stations, and I want this much money. And frankly, some people would go, Tooele County does 1/3 the call volume, and I'm not just using Regina because she's here and it's not her specific. She does 1/3 the call volume that Carl does, and Carl only has 3 stations. Why does she need 4? And frankly, we weren't basically trusting that we were treating everybody on the same platform because we had no data that treated them on the same platform. They could submit whatever they wanted, and we didn't know whether it was right or accurate. So from the 911 board, this is, oh, okay, we're going to have data now that we can make valued engineered decisions on what Carl Reed really needs right size for his center, what Regina really needs his center, and we're not just buying it to buy it because it's state money and they're going, well, I want 5 because they're small, you know, and I need them. And when really you activate 5 once a year for this big festival that comes to your community, but where you want a mobile, and you're like, no, we're not buying those. And so it was really a tool for the state 911 committee to kind of value engineer PSAPs and kind of try to right size the entire state for the right amount of equipment they truly needed. And so then when we got the tool, it was like, well, it also does this, and it also does this. And so Carl gets in as a user and train on it, and you start seeing value of this tool of looking at data to help make better decisions. And he, frankly, Carl and I think
Justin,
Kevin, and
Justin
down in St. George, some of them really learned it.
Tammy Meese.
And yeah, for their uses. And the 911 division or the 911 committee was just asking for like the general statewide comparative analysis report of what's Regina's volume versus what's, you know, this Pleasant Grove or some other volume, and what do they really need? We weren't digging into some of the specific value reports like the PSAPs were, and so it kind of ran ahead of really a general person on a 911 committee's use to it. Geez, it's really a value to the PSAP manager on the local level. So as it changed its value, UCA or the 911 committee, and when Carl was on the committee, they had committee members that were using it quite a bit to their level, and they were system administrators, and that's where this thing kind of blew up as far as we need to pull that back. Nina says they don't do that. Well, we didn't have a strong 911 division that knew the system as well as some of our PSAP managers, and that should be out there advocating the use and training, and so they're still coming up to speed. She all but admitted it, is we don't know that. And from their vantage point, looking at statewide issues, they're not looking at a local PSAP issue. They're not digging into the Davis County issue for PSAPs, but Davis County wants to.
See, and that from an outsider, as I listen to both sides of this, that's my concern. I think we craft. I think we go ahead and craft a letter to them, and I think you limit it to the comment that somebody made. Just limit it to the Davis regional area to start. You know, maybe they'll get their attention, but ask them if they can go to ECATS for the answer. Because I hear Melanie saying, "I don't know the answer to this," yeah. And I'll go do my due diligence and look into it. But maybe they just need to write a letter to ECATS or call them and say, here's our problem in this area. How do we solve this? And maybe ECATS has got the answer.
Yeah, because I think if it's a national software system, and I would think that others, where they purchase it for other states.
You can't be alone.
Yeah, that other adjoining PSAPs would like to kind of say, how can we do this without being a system? And if they've cut off system administrator rights to every other state, and we were unique in that, then there's still another mousetrap that probably solves this question.
To go back to when we actually did purchase the system, that was part of the buy-in process. It was, we would like, UCA says, we want your data. Actually, it's 911 committee at this point. We want your data, and in order to convince you to share all of your data so we can have that statewide look, we're going to give you access to all the data. And so that was kind of part of that, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, we'll share this information back and forth. And so this kind of is a shift. Because it's now saying, well, they're still going to take the data, but you're only given a limited view of what you can do with this. And that's kind of presented a little bit of a problem, and we can't turn it off. We are, by virtue of all of the funding being tied to 911 call counts, we cannot turn off our data and say we don't want to be part of that anymore. Or go to ECAT separately and say we want our own contract with you separately. We can't do that. Because the state has to validate all of our information now. So it's kind of become it used to be a very even relationship back and forth. It's become kind of a little bit lopsided in that regard, that we're not getting that same benefit that we were previously.
Go ahead.
Did the issue become, and maybe I'm digging deeper than I need to, the problem was caused by some people doing just what you said, looking at why do they get this so much funding and we don't because we have these many calls. But this is only a small part of how they determine, because there's, like you said, there's events that you got to be prepared for. You can't have 100% service all the time. You got to have 150% on standby for those big items. And so this is just a small part, and I think, okay, it gives me a little better grasp. But as now, just as a user, you're only allowed to look at your own information.
Correct.
And whether she said it or not, can they grant you multiple user rights, or can we ask for, say, we as a PSAP want to designate more than one user for our PSAP?
Right, and that's exactly what I think is coming back, because when we first bought it, and going back to Carl's comment, there was this fear that it's like, oh, you're going to see my data, I'm going to see yours, I'm going to expose my weaknesses.
Yeah.
And we even had a statement in there, it's like, okay, you can't use that against one another in terms of...
Right.
Of, you know, that data. And frankly, I'll be real honest with you, I think that the most concerned PSAP managers were the ones that maybe were not the most honest in their presentations of their data. You know what I mean? If you don't have anything to hide, you don't have anything to hide. But
yeah, and I use that data just like I mentioned to Melanie. It helps me with staffing. If I can go and look at Carl's center and they're close in the amount of calls that they take, maybe he's got more staffing and I can say, you know, what are you doing? You know, is there anything that we can look at? And that's what I've been able to use it for. Nothing else other than that right now. But Carl's got a completely separate need. So one size isn't going to fit all. And it needs to be given an opportunity to be shared if it needs to be shared.
Would you anticipate that funding is going to be an issue if they require a fee or something this group, and then how would you all suspect that would get paid for?
That's what I see. It's something funding to group it. Yes.
Yeah, there's a cost.
If there's a cost, there'll be a problem.
Yeah, and it may be a typical software company. Yeah, there's a one-time programming cost to create this functionality, which takes a programmer 15 minutes because he's done it for every other state. And he just goes and activates
these
more than one user. But it takes him 15 minutes to do it, and they charge us $8,000.
Working in IT.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Is that a request that we're making of UCA to fund, essentially, or is that something that we need to be prepared for the entities, the sub-recipients to have to pay for? Or?
And maybe we make the request, and hopefully we open the dialogue, and they say, one, yes, it can be done, and then we deal with two and three, yes, there's a cost. This is what it is. If it's one time, if it's ongoing, we as a board look at it and go, well, so we don't have any money. Do we go back and say, do we ask the Davis County PSAPs to pay that? Hopefully it's a one-time fee for a programming change. And then they have an agreement in place, and maybe it's done as a pilot. And then UCA can even use that if all of a sudden some other area of the state, like Utah County, wants it and says, yeah, we've done that before. This is how it's done. You need to pay this fee. You need to have this agreement. You need to attend this training. And we can make a consolidated user of those in the same region.
And if it's a ridiculous price that they come back with, you're not obligated at that point.
Right.
You should know.
Yeah, they just go, okay, I guess we just got to work with each other.
Who's responsible for your train on ECATS?
ECATS provides it, and they have come out in the past. They've done a great job. We've actually done some joint meetings with APCO and ECATS for them to come out and do trainings at ours. And we've gathered together supervisors from across the state. They have a manual that shows you how to use the whole system. I think a lot of it is comfort level on the part of the PSAT manager, who may or may not have technical skills in running reports or understanding databases or things like that. Some people just, you know, like that more and like to dig into that more to try to solve issues.
I hear Melanie say that she doesn't think everybody's at your level, Carl.
Oh, they're not.
And they're not.
They're not.
Because I hear that all the time, too. But I'm wondering if that's what we craft in the letter, too, is you talk about that this regional area will provide training to those agencies we're sharing with.
Sure.
You'll do your part and maybe put in there that you're even willing to pay the cost if ECATS
charges a
price tag to it. And put those things in there and limit it to that area and see what they say.
Okay.
And reports back on how well it's being utilized.
What we saw, what
let you guys
saw.
Be the demo. Yeah, yeah. What yeah. you've been able to solve.
There's
give
the
them, a, give them a report. Yeah.
If you find success in it, then share it back with them, and then it becomes a valuable tool.
Well, then
we
had Utah County follows Davis County's model.
Mm-hmm. And to give a great example of how stuff like this, some of the power that we don't even necessarily know that we don't utilize very often. Ogden had a couple homicides. We had taken some calls from the one of the suspects involved in there.
He was from Layton.
Yeah, and so we usually send us. You know, but anyway,
the people get killed in Ogden. The people get killed from Layton.
Just a fireman.
Okay.
So Ogden ran their phone number 3 cats looking for stuff and said, hey, Layton, you got some 911 calls from this number. Can you look them up, listen to them, and find out what they're about, provide them to us? And yeah, we did. And now they're part of this homicide investigation, part of the evidence. So that's the sort of functionality, because our borders are porous. People go from place to place. The cell phone signals travel over borders all the time. So there's so many applications for this product if, one, people learn how to use it, and two, if we have that ability to be able to actually look. Tammy Weiss was great. She'd call me all the time from Ogden saying, hey, I've got this problem. We had this happen. I tracked it down, and it was your center. Can we work together to help us? If we can't see the other center, we don't know where to even go to get that help. And that's the issue of efficiency and really problems.
And to having to call UCA and say, can you do it on the flyer? Can you sit down with us to compare? It's so cumbersome. I mean, what you had before, we had the agreements and it seemed to be working okay. The system never got contaminated. But I get the security issues. I get the IT stuff. So, okay, we'll live with that. But can we get shared information for adjacencies? Because I think there is value.
To be fair, I did go and ask UCA once that was cut off and asked for some transfer information mm-hmm. in and out of our county, all of our agencies within our county, wanted exact counts of who was transferring to who. And they said, Grandma, request that information. We had that conversation. So that's when we followed their request to do so, we may not have gotten that answer that we wanted to hear from them.
So what's our best course of action? We wrote a letter asking, saying we think this is a good idea, and they shot it down. Do we need to submit this as a letter in the form of a formal
request? I think the Wasatch Front Regional Council RAC is asking for consideration for X. And mm-hmm. and if you'd like, you know, I think from the discussion and the intimacy of knowledge, I think Carl knows the knowledge well enough, if we want to have him maybe draft it, send it out to all of us, and then we wordsmith it. Because I think we want to word it in a way to be sensitive to their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even be, it was over their head in terms of the request, in terms of the understanding about what they were really requesting. You know, we got to have it in some layman terms just so they'll then in turn go to ECATS, and this is what they're asking for specifically. And if not, could we even sit down and meet with an ECATS representative with UCA?
Yeah.
This is, you know, how can we skin this cat? And maybe it's a collaboration of discussion before, because that programmer might go, well, we can do that. We just can't do this.
Yeah.
And UCA says, we're okay with that. Okay, so go back and get the agreements, and we could do it this way, and maybe that's the way it has to go, is there's just confusion in the request.
Well, it might make Melanie feel better if the request isn't for UCA to solve the problem, but we're asking UCA to ask ECATS if there's a solution to it.
Yeah. I think that's what we have to do. We're asking ECATS ultimately whether they can and whether it's feasible, and then whether it costs any money.
If it costs money, then offer to share that cost.
At least find out what the cost is before we just shoot it down and say it's going to cost something.
And we could even, if you want to oversimplify the request, just not get into the details with our request, but the request is to have a representative from UCA and a representative from ECATS attend our RAC meeting for discussion of some requests and information we'd like to have, the whole meeting on to find out what it is they can and can't do, and at least get the straight answer from them rather than getting. I get that it's a contract with UCA, it's ECATS, but it'd be great if they would say, we have nothing to hide, we'll bring the ECATS representative in.
So is it fair to say, let's write the letter and then maybe let everybody review it and get the wordsmithing in there properly and craft it?
And then send it.
I mean, I have 5 bullet points that I think we discussed that are critical, and I think we ought to just make sure those are...
Do you want to forward those to me? And I'll
just
incorporate if anyone else has any thing that they really want to see in there, send it to me. We'll try to put something together that makes sense, but it's also simple and very simple, straightforward request to request for some information.
Right.
I think the preface of the request is saying this is such a hugely valuable tool to us at our level, but it's sitting there idle and going to waste.
And I think one other mention to preface it is that this statutory requirement for Davis County to, as the county, to look at how to better or analyze their 4 PSAP centers and if there is a better way, and say one of the tools of analysis is we need this data and we need to be able to share it to where we can collect it on demand.
One other thing is, let's not just say, just because Davis County is looking at it now, let's not preclude that other counties, including Salt Lake, may want the same information, so we'll make it accessible to other counties that may want it also.
We're willing to pilot Davis County to work through the issues, and then if it can be completed, maybe it'd be of value in other parts of the state.
I think you picked the right person. Carl's taught most of us everything that we know about advanced searching, the raw data that you can pull out of that system. If it wasn't for Carl and Justin, I would still be struggling at some point trying to find data, but they were great, and they were a lot more accessible than ECAT support was. And not saying that they weren't accessible, but you guys were just great. You knew our area and were able to help us train. So you picked the right person.
And if you guys would ever want a 5-10 minute demo, we can always throw it up on the board at a future meeting so you understand just what it is and how it works. Maybe it would be helpful to see it for just a...
Maybe we ought to do that
at our next meeting.
I have a computer.
Help me better.
All right.
You want 5 minutes? Carl, you can lock in.
Well, and I think the balance here is, because I think part of the issue became people get offended when somebody's smarter than you on a subject matter. And so part of this request needs to be like politically correct, and the other part is the detail analysis, but we don't want to get so deep in the detail analysis that you lose someone who's reading it going, I'm just going to ignore it.
I'll try to leave my voice out of it.
Yeah, and that's,
neutral.
Use your friendly voice.
Oh, yes. I'll write it with a smile.
Your first time with a smile.
Everybody knows how that...
Watch a cat video every 10 minutes.
That's right.
That's how the world goes around, unfortunately. So, do we have, after ample discussion, do we have a motion on this topic? Does somebody want to offer up a motion?
I'll take a shot at it.
Okay.
I move we ask Carl Keane to write a letter to a recommendation to the UCA board asking that they look into the possibility that, I'll change that, asking that they look into a request of service from ECATS that would allow local analysis between multiple PSAPs.
Okay. Can I get one clarification on it? Do we want to request UCA board or the UCA director? Do we want to send it? Do we want to elevate it to the board?
Yeah. Does the director have the authority to just do that?
I would think so.
I would think the director could do this.
Okay.
before we fire up the boards and give them an opportunity.
Send it to Mr. Edmonds.
Okay. And it's a draft letter sent to all committee members for review prior to approval and
sending. To include the points that we've discussed in the meeting here.
Okay.
And the information gets from us.
Okay. All right. Is there a second on the motion?
I'll second it.
Second it?
You can second it.
Okay, John will second it. Now, is there any further discussion on the motion, or have we had more than ample enough?
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay. So we'll work forward to that. Timeline, we'll try to get this finalized through email.
Yeah.
Just make sure Katie shares and stuff, and we'll get it on our kind of official Wasatch Front Regional RAC letterhead, and I'll sign it and send it off when we finally get it done. Make it kind of efficient. Okay.
I'm going to run to my point, but I'll send you the bullet points that I came up
please.
With. Let's everybody do the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay. Thanks, John. Okay, I believe the closed session is just there for the purpose of if we need it. And I don't know if anybody has any reason for us to go into closed session. Okay. Any items discussed in the closed session? Obviously none. Okay, other business. Do we have other business we want to discuss?
I'd like to make an announcement.
Sure.
Monday, Tooele County went live with text to 911.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, adhering to our strategic plan, for a statewide strategic plan, we've accomplished one of those checklist items. So. We're working through all the things that we need to do, and we'll make an official announcement out to the public next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Is when we plan to get it out there, and I think Melanie and Samantha are updating the website. So,
oh great,
we're pretty pleased to be as far as we are now. So,
great, good deal.
One less worry.
Just for everyone's information, then around the table, that means everything from Weber to Utah County, including then now Tooele and St. George, is live.
Great. That's good news. Any other business? The one question I have is just making sure that we keep this committee alive and well. And sometimes if we don't have things to talk about, you know, attendance drops off, interest drops off, so forth. I know we've been focusing on 911, and that's an area that we need to work on. And this is a topic we had is a very good one. I wish Mike was here because I still want to talk to him as to whether or not, from a Wasatch Front standpoint, are the issue of their radio system as somewhat of an independent radio system, but collaborative one with UCA's radio system. When the funding changed and we no longer were paying for it through user fees, we're paying on cell phone bills, there was a switch within Salt Lake City who, you know, basically paid for their own radio system, but collaborated with UCA and was kind of a partner within having the same radio system. Now their telephone fees are going to UCA, and I'm sure as we move on to a new radio system, the RFP and all that going forward, if I was in Salt Lake, I would assume that I would want UCA to pay for it, would not want to maintain any kind of independent responsibility where I didn't have to and they collect the money and so forth. They don't want to pay for it twice by doing it internally and externally through their 911 phone bills. I just want to have that dialogue with Mike and see if there's any play for us as a committee or, you know, the regional advisory committee to work with UCA in terms of how that looks moving forward and making sure that, you know, that one of our member communities of the Wasatch mm-hmm. Front is represented properly. So just don't know if it's going to be our responsibility to be involved in that, or if it's something that Salt Lake City is going to talk directly to UCA about. I'd just like to get Mike's feel on that and see if we play a role in that whole radio piece. And I think also, just as a reminder, that I wish John was here, but if we have radio issues within the Wasatch Front, that, you know, we should bring them here and bring them to UCA as far as coverage issues and those kind of things that we want to have addressed or looked at. Because I think we have the responsibility to be concerned and stewardship over the radio system and the 911 system. Have some discussion. If we don't have anything, we don't have anything. But
should we solicit from the fire and police chiefs in our region as well for concerns that they have that they would like us to address? I mean, we all represent one agency. We may not be aware of something that's happening in another area that's adjacent. We're not having those conversations often enough, but maybe a blanket email to all of them saying, here we are, use us if you need us.
I think in fact, I was going to pose the question. question. What do you have a feel for how many of your entities are going through radio replacement right now, upgrades? We've got an interesting scenario going on at Twilla, where the Twilla entities are all kind of jumping on to doing their upgrades at a fairly high rate. Many of them are using the Kenwood system as opposed to Motorola system. I'm just curious as to what the other entities, just because of how fast they're moving out there, if you're seeing that in Long Wasatch Front area, and are you seeing any problems with it? Or
I know Leighton Fires is getting ready to go to replace radios, and they're demoing both the Motorola's and the Kenwoods. And what they've learned is that the Kenwoods are half to two-thirds the price of the Motorola.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can almost buy three for the price of one, is what I've heard.
What we're seeing is programming issues starting to come up with the Kenwood radios as opposed to the Motorola radios. And they're in the process of working through the technology, but it's becoming more and more of an issue where people are getting locked out of particular sites. It's more on the back end, you know, where the program just needs to be changed or dealt with.
Who's programming your Kenwoods?
Well, right now Robert is building the loads,
okay.
And we're struggling with the loads being built completely out correctly.
Is it
I don't know whether it's from Kenwood to Robert to the user or where that sits, but it is becoming more and more of an issue.
I actually talked to Carl about this a little while ago, but what we've experienced is a big delay in getting radio A from point A to Z, and yeah. So it'll get to a point where it'll work, but then we'll find these little issues later on. What it seems like it is, it's almost like a training issue. Like maybe Robert's really versed in Motorola, but Kenwood maybe not so much. And so the fire chief, Leighton fire chief, was actually having this issue. He's demoing a Kenwood radio, and anytime he left the Leighton City area, he would just hear the traffic just slowly fade away until he got to Salt Lake. And then all of a sudden, boom, come right back. So what JD at JCOM and Clearfield discovered was the radio, instead of saying, here are the sites available to me, it was just pulling all the sites. And every time you left an area, it would have to determine which site through all these sites was the best one to talk to, and then he would go over here, and then he'd have to start all over. So during this time, he was getting no radio traffic. No, because the radio didn't know who to talk to, site-wise. So from what I understand, I don't know the whole picture, I don't know the details of it, but from what I understand, it's something that's in a Kenwood radio that's not being programmed 100% like the Motorola's, where it's smart zone, smart net kind of situation.
If I remember, this is where I start to fall off the table when it comes to the technology, but all the time I spent on the UCA board and either 911 is you know, our radio system, the network, was built for the Olympics. It was before P25, you know, standards were ever put together. And from what I have been told, generally speaking, is that not until when we replace that system will some of the interoperability issues of different brands of radios will go away. Now, I'm not sure if that's true. I'm just being told that. And I don't know if that's being deliberately done or if it's a technological limitation of somebody just. And so what we've done in Weaver County, I think for most part Weaver County, I know for Ogden City, we've just stuck with Motorola because on one hand, there's two philosophies, you know, well, if this is better, cheaper, whatever, let's go try this. And in my history, there was two or three things in the fire service in the last 30 years that I'd never step away from. And one was a certain type of stretcher, one was Motorola, and one was a certain type of cardiac monitor machine because they always worked. And it was like, I know it, they're expensive, but they're dependable, reliable, and just to say I can save some money and this will work the same often never happens. You know, because when we try and venture out into some other land, we were told it was going to work as good, as better, but it invariably didn't. So that's just a philosophical approach. I'm not advocating. That's just what I've done because I just don't want to deal with the problem. So we've just stuck with Motorola and we've never had any kind of issue. But what we're hoping for is when this new network is purchased. And, you know, it's too bad John's not here to hear this, is that, you know, we will have options, I think, that where hopefully some of those interoperable issues will go away. And so that's why we've just decided, because we don't know when UCA is going to replace the network or not. It's probably within the next few years. They've got the RP development going on and whatnot. But within the next 3 or 4 years, we'll have a new system. I think we'll be in a better position. But I don't know if it's worth. I mean, we could get some information from John as a committee member to say, Motorola users, you know, what's the lay of the land out there? But I don't know if it'd be appropriate to ask him anything else, because I don't know who all is using Kenwood. It seems like that's the one only other alternative.
Harris is also out.
Is Harris, are people actually starting to use Harris?
I mean, it's an option.
I just wonder if
a lot of people talk about Harris.
I just don't know if they're using it yet. I haven't seen any Harris. I've seen the Kenwood, but I haven't seen the Harris.
Theoretically, this goes to the theoretically, right? We don't really know. Right? 98% of the functionality will be contained in all of the various brands of P25 radios. The part that you might be missing would be some special features, especially encryption. That's like the main thing that if they go with one system versus the other, that you may miss out on.
Because that's not within the P25 requirement.
Right? Yeah. So there's the
it took FCC to tell me, you guys got to all get together and make sure that your stuff works with one another and stop this proprietary gamesmanship. It's that as well as this planned obsolescence. You know, when I started in this service, I had a walkie-talkie that you could drop, run over, do whatever to, and you never replaced it unless it was totally busted and it just worked all the time. And now it's like, oh no, that's 8 years old, we don't support that anymore.
Right.
Planned obsolescence is so frustrating because they want to make so much money off of this.
Which is another thing though about Motorola is that their radios are lasting much longer even than they predicted.
Right.
So those XTLs are going to be in in service for
structurally they're holding up, but the technology is passing.
Yeah.
As soon as we go
to the new network, they're saying okay, they won't work.
What? No, that's
that the first initial.
There's the two phases, right?
Right.
So the XTLs and the XTSs will still work while they're in the hybrid system. It's
right.
Only when they give that drop-dead date, which I'm sure is going to be 10 or 12 years from now, that they say everyone's going to have to be on Apex or better, anything in Space 2. So I think a lot of those radios, even those people who are buying XTLs today, are probably going to get a fair bit of use out of it. But when they retire them in 12 years, probably still going to be good radios, functionally.
Yeah.
Just like 10 years out of a radio.
I got to tell you a story. I told John that he needed to use this. Last summer, we had a great winter, so we had high runoff, and we had a drowning in the Ogden River, and guy got in the river, and he had a belt clip on with his radio, and the river or the radio dropped in and was just gone. 6 months later, the river receded and it was down to just a trickle, and somebody walking along a riverbed found this radio. They brought it to the fire station, and I got it.
No way.
And it's green. It's green with all the moss on it. You know, I mean, it's just dark green. I took out alcohol wipes and Clorox wipes and stuff, just in my office, wiped it all clean, wiped all the contact stuff, called John. I said, what do you think? Should I do anything with it? Is it just toast? Should I send it in? He goes, I don't know. He says, try putting a new battery in. It might work. I didn't not only do that, I cleaned the old battery. I didn't take it apart. I cleaned it all from the outside. I stuck that old battery on, stuck it in a conditioner over the weekend. The damn thing worked next Monday.
Wow.
And I said, John,
are you going to sell that story to Motorola? They're going to make a commercial?
Yeah, that's what I told them. I says, I don't know if you want this radio.
Right,
I know.
There.
I says, I don't know if you want it. He goes, I've heard stories like that. And he goes, yeah, that's great. He didn't really. I says, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
That's great.
And the dang thing's just, we didn't ever repair it at all. It's in service now today. It works. It's been out there since last summer, last fall. And it just amazed me.
But hey, you can save some money with those other brands.
Yeah, exactly.
One more quick question for everybody. I'm starting to hear from my entities that they're receiving programming charges from the radio shop because that, and they've never seen it before, but granted, they've been bequeathed a lot of their equipment from the county during CSEP days and whatnot, but now they're starting, they'll make the purchase for their radio and then they'll get a separate bill from UCA related to programming fees, and none of them had ever received that in the past. Is that kind of...
I believe that's been a policy that UCA's made.
That they can charge the $10 per or whatever per radio for Okay.
That's been in existence for years and years. Whether they were doing it before, always charging, some of our updates, when they were kind of, when UCA also needed to do some things, those ones they've just comped and said, hey, we're not going to even charge you for those. But okay, the policy, at least for charging
the perception that they all had, because these are all the entities that had switched to the cable radio,
that they're retaliating
bills for them with programming where they hadn't been being billed for the Motorola programming. And so I'll make sure to let them all know that.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
Because they have to also buy the new software, you know, which is something that costs a lot of money. Programming software is.
Yeah, I think it's in their minutes in some of the UCA board meetings. I can't recall specifically when, but I think that was addressed. And so, it's been there. But what else was I going to say on that topic? Matter of fact, John Tate is trying to talk to Director Edmonds and Quinn about the RFP and everything else, and they won't. But they won't talk to them. They won't do anything. They're because legislatively, there's this big fear of, and Harris has got lobbyists up on the Hill. Motorola's got lobbyists, and they're all trying to make sure this next process is open and fair completely. And I think they're being real careful not to show favoritism to, because even John's told me just in a one-on-one conversation, he says, "God, it's frustrating. I can't even talk to those guys anymore. They always want to even talk to me." And he says, "Well, they got to stay."
Yeah.
Way far away from
yeah.
All right, any other discussion next meeting? So let me ask you this. We sent an email, we just talked about this. Would you like me to generate a letter that we could review at the next meeting to where we could send out to all the chiefs that would say, here's what we are and here's how we can help you, and if you have any problems with radio or 911, please let any one of these representatives know. Kind of just let our public safety entities know what we are. Okay, I'd be happy to do that and bring that back.
We want to meet next month?
Yeah. Let's see, we're going to get this letter generated. I'll get a letter generated. How does everybody feel? I mean, I know it's summertime. And that's
yeah.
We don't have to meet if those are just letters that we're reviewing back.
Review by mail.
As long as we're.
Do you want to plan for September then?
Just wondering how quickly Dave would respond and be willing to come to a meeting.
Yeah, maybe we.
I can't see him coming probably 2 weeks before we get that letter done and sent out that quick. So
what if we get both these letters prepared and done and back out to the members, and then we meet in September, because then maybe by then we have an answer back from UCA?
Probably. I won't be here in December.
Yeah.
You won't be. Do we need to adjust?
Oh, I'm in the
okay for a couple days.
Did the poll work for everybody to determine the dates and times?
Mm-hmm. I love doodles.
I do too.
I like doodles too.
Do we want to send out instead of setting the standard date for our September? Do we want to doodle it?
Yeah, and I'll get in touch with you. You said you were going to be here a couple days.
Yeah, very beginning of September, very end.
Okay, so why don't you send me the dates that you're going to be available, and then I'll kind of base that around the information that I send out to the group.
Yeah. And even if it's near the end of December or September, that gives 2.5 months to get an answer back from.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll draft a letter, I'll draft a letter, we'll route it around by email to get approval. And then Katie will help us get it on letterhead, and we'll sign it and get them. And I imagine the best thing to do on the letter that I'm doing is get it back to you, that then, or if you want to supply us an address of everybody or an email address for everybody, we could ask Katie to just email it to everybody on behalf of us.
Would you
prefer that? So we owe her a list of chiefs in our area that we want that letter sent to.
Okay.
I'll do Weaver County. So we have Weaver, I need to get Morgan, because Blaine, right? Let Blaine take care of anything up there. You've got Davis, Victorilla, and John, you take care of
something.
Any others we got?
Mike to not be here to share the pill for a little bit.
But you can make sure Mike gets it, and Carl, and we'll make sure everybody in Davis County gets it. You guys make sure Victorilla?
Yeah,
take care of it. Okay. You'll get a list to send it to.
Yeah. Perfect.
Great. Okay, any other business? Nothing? Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Okay. So moved. Second? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
See you in September sometime.
Thanks, you guys.
So you guys are having trouble killing us next.